Okay, sorry for the shift in time. Just arrived in New York. we're in Parches in Hilchos Shabbos, and we've been dealing with some specific, going through the specific malachas, and a lot of the derivatives and situations where things are either prohibited or permitted. So in Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam says, we're up to Tochen now. So Tochen is grinding. So Tochen could groger es chayev. So the shear for the shear to be liable for grinding is the size of a dried fig. But not only that, v'kola shochek tavlin v'simonin v'machteshes hareza token v'chayev. And the same thing applies. It's not just obviously the grains, but even if it's for spices or herbs or things like that, using like a mortar and pestle, that's considered token in your chayev. Now this is an important one. Hamechasech yerek tolosh hareza toldos token. So if you cut up a vegetable that's detached from where it, from the ground, that actually would be considered a tolda of tochen. Okay, now why that's important, because whereas there's never a shear openly given that states this is the size of grinding something. It's an interesting thing, but these questions come up. There's a lot of times. Just as an example, I was reading a tshuva about a year ago about making egg salad on Shabbos. One of the issues is chopping up onions. And people don't realize that chopping things up into very small pieces on Shabbos, even if it's made for eating at that time, is not permitted. Or certainly if you made it in the morning to be used later on. So tochen, sometimes people aren't as aware that there could be some halachic issues with tochen. V'chena noser eitzim, lahanos b'nasor shalahem. Okay, so what happens there? So let's say I cut up wood or I saw up wood to benefit from the sawdust. Okay, so again, that's considered light grinding. Or for instance, if a person grinds down metal, okay, because he wants the fillings that are coming off of it, in that case also, he'd be chayiv any small amount. Okay, that's important, but if a person actually chopped up wood, okay, because remember, in the first case, he's like sanding it. Okay, in this case, if he chops up wood, eino chayiv adsha yidaktik mehen kedei levashal kegrogeres mebeitza. So he's only chayev if he produces enough in chopping the wood into small pieces that would be to cook the the dried fig size from the olive from the egg. So that's the halacha by tochen. Okay, halacha tezayin. So one more merakade. Okay, so merakade is sifting. So if a merakade could grow gris chayev. So a person who sifts the amount of dried fig is chayev. Now halush could grow gris chayev. Told us lush. Okay, so now again he switches over to lush. Lush is kneading dough. If a person needs the amount of dried fig, he's chayev. Megavas offer is, let's say you're making cement out of dirt, okay, or plaster. That's considered told of lush. The kama shiro, so what's the shear? This is a little tricky. What's the shear necessary of the amount of dirt that you're using to make cement to be chayev in? Kedelasos pikur shel tzorfezav. So literally what that means is that it's enough to make, little translation, is a crucible for someone who makes gold objects. Vein gibel be'efer v'lo b'chol hagas v'lo b'morsim v'lo b'chiyotze b'hem. But however, since when a person mixes cement, so they don't use things like ash or bran or sand or things of this nature, they're not really used to make cement. Vanosin, so therefore it wouldn't be considered lush. Vanosin zera shumshamin or zera pishdan. So let's say a person puts a sesame seed, for example, b'mayim chayv mishum lush. So then he'd be over, what do you call it, lush. Why? May shahim misarvim and nislin zebezet. So that's also interesting halacha. If a person took sesame seeds and put them into water, what's going to end up happening is they're going to join together. So even though you're not doing what would consider to be an actual using your hands type of lush, nonetheless, since the items become stuck together, so that's considered like lush. Okay. Now, parak test, we're going to get into cooking. Okay. So remember, we dealt with shihia and chazara by parak gimel. Now we're going to deal with the isser of bishul and afia. Okay. So the Rambam starts off haofek grogeres chayev. So if a person bakes, what's the shear for baking to be chayev in? As we all know, it's a grogeres. Echad ofes a pas o mevashal sa michael o es a simonin o mechamim sa mayim a kol inin echadhu. That's an important point. Okay, it doesn't have to be specifically baking, right? And it doesn't have to be specifically cooking food. Meaning, even something like boiling water, okay? Boiling water, which you can argue isn't maybe the same thing as cooking food, all this falls under one category, and included also is mevashel semanonim, which is making herbs and dyes. Herbs. So it's important to understand that we look at afia, bishel, all as being under one umbrella. Shir amechamim esamayim. So what's the shir that a person's chayav in? Because remember, we have to know at what point is it considered being cooked. Okay, it's not simply, as you'll see, it's not simply starting the fire. There's a point where a person can point to, there's a point in cooking where a person can then say, this water is heated up enough. So what is that shir? So it's enough to go ahead and wash a small limb, okay? Yeah. You're right, I apologize. 100% correct, I'm sorry. It's the jet lag. What do you call it? It's only 1 hour difference, but correct. In other words, how much water do you have to boil to be chayev? It's enough to wash a small finger. Okay, thank you, Joe. I apologize. V'shir mevashal simanam k'neishi re'uyin ledavar shemevashin osan lo. So when it comes to cooking for, let's say, herbs or dyes, it has to be enough that it's going to be for the thing that you're going to be cooking with them. So whatever you're going to use the herbs for, it's whatever that shir would normally be. I don't know, let's say it was garlic, and let's say it's a teaspoon for garlic in the recipe, that'd be the point where a person's chayev when it comes to heating up the water. Okay, lacha beis. Now, hanosen beitza betzana mecha. Okay, now that's an also important case. Let's say you put an egg, okay, next to the fire, okay, next to a pot that's boiling on the stove. Bishvil shetisgalgel, right, v'nisgalgala chayev. So why are you doing it? You're doing it because you want the egg to cook, and it cooks. You're chayev. That's considered bishul. Shamevashel betoldas or kemevashel or atzma. So that's a very important distinction, that a person who is cooking even by the side benefit or the derivative from the main fire, that's considered like bishul itself. So you don't need to, what do you call it, to actually have the food on the fire to be over bishul. You can even have a situation where it's right next to the fire. Okay. V'chena madiach b'chamin miliach hayashan o kulis ha'aspanin v'hu dag dag v'rach bioser ha'reza chayiv. So let's say you're washing, in these situations, you're washing like salted fish or other kinds of fish, okay, which is very thin, using hot water, okay, you're chayiv as well. Why? Shehadachasan b'chamen zehu gemar bishulan. Because when it comes to these types of fish, the washing with hot water is considered the last stage in cooking it. So notice in the halacha beis, which again is an important thing, you want to actually have the maisa bishul of putting the food on the fire source and say that at that point I'm chayev. It could even be something where, what do you call it, so even if it's something that's part of the cooking process that applies to the food, but wouldn't be considered standard cooking, that's enough to say you're over the Isser Bishel. However, okay, Halacha Gimel is the limitation of where Bishel goes to. So hamafkias a beitz of a beged cham of a chol of a avak drachem shein chamim ve'ashemesh afi shenitzlas putter. So that's the famous case. Let's say I break open an egg and I want to make a sunny side up egg on the sidewalk because it's a really hot day outside, like during the recent chamsin in Israel. I want to go ahead and cook an egg that way. That's your putter. Why? Shetoldos chama enam ketoldos eish. So the heat that comes from the sun, okay, is not considered the same as a derivative from the original fire source. So the only way you'd be chayev and bishul, in this case of an egg, for example, is when you put it next to the fire source. But if I leave it in the sun, even if the sun is hotter than being next to the fire source, it wouldn't matter. Aval gazru aleim if they told us or. Okay, but nonetheless, even though midaraisa, it's really, it's really mutter, right? Nonetheless, of course, a chum came along and said, we don't want people messing around with using the heat from the sun, right? Because that's a classic thing, that if you do that, then you're going to use toldos or. So they did gozer on the sun, even though, technically speaking, that's too far removed midaraisa from what bishul is. V'chenem v'ashel b'chamei tveri achiyotz behem patr. Right, so again, if a person used cooking by the hot springs of Tveria, you'd be patr as well. Again, it's patr aval aser. You're not over the aser deraisa. Hamavashal al haor davar shahayim mevushal called tzarcho davar shena tzarch bishul klal putter. Now that's also important. If a person cooks on the fire something that is already been cooked to the point where it is completely cooked, not edible by the way, whereas edible happens way before that, but to the point where it's certainly cooked the way it's supposed to be cooked, or something that doesn't require any more cooking is pater. Again, doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. It's an issur d'rabbanan, but you are pater from in that situation. Okay, now here's another famous halacha which has to do with a very fascinating permutation of how bishul works. So halacha davi says echad nasa nesa or ve'echad nasa nesa itzim ve'echad nasa nesa kadera ve'echad nasa nesa mayim ve'echad nasa nesa basar ve'echad nasa nesa tavlin uba acher ve'higis kulam ve'higis kulam chayav mishum vasha. So what's that case? So you would think that the only time you're over the Isser of Bishul is when you're actually doing the act of cooking, which you would think is food over the fire. But that's not true. The person who brings the fire source, who brings the wood, it doesn't matter if the person who's bringing the pot, right? Every element that's involved in cooking, if any person participates in any of those elements, you're Chayiv and Bishul. So you could be the person who provided the wood, right, for the fire, to cook the soup, and never actually, partake of the soup. It doesn't matter because you actively, with Kavana, participated in in cooking the food. Shekol ha'osa davar mitzarchei bishul reizim vashal. So what makes bishul very unique is that bishul is not like toching. There's a lot of, or other malachas, there's a lot of aspects, hechshers, that are required for bishul, right, that even though they themselves are not an act of cooking, are necessary for cooking to take place. So anything that matters, let's say put today's terms, if a person turned the dial on, right, for the oven, right, he would be just as liable as a person who put the food into the oven, okay? However, okay, what's the counter? Avalim shafas echad es akdera tchila, uba acher v'nasan es amayim, uba acher v'nasan es abasar, uba acher v'nasan es atavlin, uba acher v'nasan es aor, uba acher v'nasan etzim halor, uba acher v'higis, okay, shnayim achron bavad chayam mishum vashem. Okay, but the difference here is like this. In the first case, if all of us together at the same time, right, like let's say, you know, we gather together and say, listen, we're going to commit, Shabbos has been boring, we're going to go ahead and have some fun, we're going to all cook. So what do? We all meet at 3 o'clock, and everyone brings the necessary thing that's for cooking at that time. That's where every single person's chayiv. But let's say I brought the pot, okay, and then I put it down and I left. And then you came along and then brought the kedera and then left. And then someone else came along and put in the water and then left. The only people who are chayiv, okay, are the last two, okay? The fire, the wood for the fire, right? As well as the person who stirs it up, okay? Those are the only two people chayiv in that situation. Even if from a sequence standpoint, they're broken up, those are considered, I'm going to have to use this term, the most necessary. I know that doesn't make perfect sense, but the most necessary for bishul. So in halacha, so that's the one contrast. Whereas on the one hand, you could have a situation where if everyone gathered together to cook, I would not have to be the person to go ahead and put the food on the fire necessarily. Any step that's necessary for bishul, I'd be chayiv in. On the other hand, if it was broken up in sequences, so only the last two, meaning the person who puts the wood on the fire and then the person who stirs it, those are the only two who'd be chayiv if it was done broken up over time. Okay, halacha hey. Now, hiniach basar agabe gecholim. Okay, so let's say, what do I do on Shabbos? I take a piece of meat and I put it over the coals, okay? Now, im nitzla bo kergo... Yeah. Remember, the emphasis it's not on what each person is doing. It's what the Rambam's trying to point out is that what makes bishul very different is that it's not like other malachas. Right, exactly. It's not like other malachas where we don't care about a hechsher. Or, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, you would never say, in order for me to... Hutzah is always a tricky one. You'll wait till we get to Hutzah. But like, for example, let's say like, Tochein, right? So if I bring over the grinder, right, I'm not over the Isser of Tochein. You know what I mean? It's only when you're actually doing the Maisa Tochein that you're over the Isser. But Bishul's different. Bishul's different. Okay, so now what do a person do here? A person takes a piece of meat and he puts it over the coals, okay? Because he wants to roast the meat. In Nitzlebo, Kegrogeris, Afilu B'Shnayim, B'Shloshim, Makomos, Chayv. So as long as he roasts a grogerous size of meat in the meat, okay, even if it's in two or three different places, he's chayiv, okay? So that's important to understand that he doesn't have to have the whole chunk of meat roasted. Once the shear of grogerous is present, you're chayiv. Lo nitzabok a grogerous, but let's say, this is interesting, let's say, from, again, sli, which is roasting. Let's say a grogeris did not roast. Avamish bashal kulo chatzi bishal chayev. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that if, if, let's say, the piece of meat was, we'll call it half-cooked, okay? If it's half-cooked, that's enough to make me chayev. So I don't have to actually have, even though it's on the fire, I don't have to actually have the presence of the grogeris size of roasted meat to be over the iser. Even if it got heated up enough that half of it was cooked, that'd be sufficient. However, nisbashal chatzi bishul mitzan echad putter. But if it's only half cooked on one side of the meat, then it's on putter ad shiyahafech bo vizbashal chatzi bishul mishnei tzada. So you have two ways you can go to be over the iser. Either you have a grogeris size of roasted somewhere in the meat, or the other possibility is where half of it's cooked. But what he means by half it cooked, meaning that it's halfway cooked. But if only the top half was cooked and the bottom half was still raw, you'd be putter. It's only where it's chatzi bishul on both sides. At that point, I can say it's cooked. Finally, shachach v'hidbig pas b'tanor. Now, at the end, he says, shachach v'hidbig pas b'tanor b'shabbos. So let's say a person went ahead, and if you recall, when a person has raw dough, you can't put it in the oven directly before Shabbos. It has to be enough that the outer part is crusted. Let's say a person forgot and put raw dough in the oven on Shabbos, okay? V'nizkar, and he remembers that he did that. Like, let's say he accidentally threw it on there, and he remembers. It's interesting. Mutalo lirdosa kodem shite'afe v'yovo lidei melacha. So he's actually allowed to take it out of the oven, right, before it bakes, because if he leaves it there, what's going to happen? It's because it's going to become bread. And if it becomes bread, there's an israfia there. So he's actually allowed to go ahead and remove the dough from the, even though it's already crusted, from the oven, because he doesn't want, he wants to avoid being over the isra of afia. Okay. Masich. Okay. Alachavav. Okay. So this is where a person is melting, what do you call it? Melting metal. Okay. And you're going to see, well, again, a classic example of a tolda versus an of. The of bishul is always going to refer to food. But there are other things that you can, in this case, melt, or other things you can quote-unquote cook, that that's not necessarily food, but you're still over the iser of bishul. So, for instance, here, hamasich echa mimini matachos, kol shehu. That's also important to know, that anyone who melts any amount of metal, okay, you don't need to have a shear, any amount of metal, you're chayev, right? Or if you heat up a piece of metal until it glows, okay, that's considered a tolda of bishul. Okay, so again, the derivative here is it's not food, but it's a similar process as bishul. V'chein hamemaseis es adunag o es achilev o es azafas v'akofer v'hagafres uchiyotze v'hem areize toledes toldas b'vashel v'chayev. So similar things here. If a person melts wax or tar or any of these other things, these are all considered to be toldos of bishul. So melting substances is bishul. V'chein mevashal kli adama ach yasu chares. So another example is if you heat a kli that's made out of earth, okay, earthenware, until it becomes ceramic, you're chayev bishul. Klal shel davar bein sreifa guf kasha ba'esh o shehiksha guf rach hareza chayev mishum mevashal. So that's the general principle. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you're softening something that's hard or hardening something that's soft. Either way, if you apply heat to the object, you're over the iser of bishul. Okay, so remember, keep in mind, bishul extends to beyond simply foods. It can apply to melting down objects as well. Okay, lachazayin gozes, one that's probably not as familiar to people, but there's an important tolda that's very important that exists on Shabbos. So gozes means shearing wool. So goze semer or sear bain bin behema bain min achaya bain min achay bain min ames afilu min ashalach shalahen chayev. So a person who shears wool or hair from any animal, whether it's alive or dead, okay, even when he removes it from the skin itself, meaning let's say the skin is removed from the animal and he takes the hair off the skin, you're chayev, okay? Kama shiro, so what's the shear that you have to remove when you're shearing wool to be chayev? Kedi latavos mimenu chut. Okay, so the shear is enough, is to be able to spin a thread that is the width of a sit. Now, what is, excuse me, a doubled sit. Now, what is that? The kama rochav hasit kedei limtoach min bohan shel yad ad etz baharishona. Okay, kish yiftach benem bekol kocho, vukarov l'sheni shlishi zaras. Okay, so ready to get out your ruler here. But basically, a sit is the distance from the thumb to the index finger, okay? When, okay, they are open, extended as much as possible. So when if you open up your hand, okay, the distance between your thumb and your first finger, when your hands are open, okay, but kolkocho, right? That is the measurement of a seat. And what is that? That's two-thirds of a zeres, okay? So that is, what do you call it? That is the amount that you're chayiv in when it comes to gozes. Okay. Hatolesh kanaf mina of. Now, this is interesting. If a person... Okay, let's say on Shabbos, for some reason why, you decide to pluck the wing off a bird, okay? That's considered a tolda of gozes, okay? Now, again, you can understand why it's a derivative. It's not the act of shearing wool, but it's similar in a sense of, and it's not tolish like by fruits, okay, from the ground where there it's ikar gidulasan. Here, it's again if you're plucking that wing off, so in that situation, it's considered a tolda of gozes. Okay, hatova esatzemer minachai potter she'ain derech gziza bekach vein derech nafutz bekach vein derech tvia bekach. Now that's interesting. So let's say you spin wool, okay, directly from right a live animal. Okay, meaning that the animal is alive while you're spinning it. Okay, that you're pata from, because that's not the way we actually do gziza or nufutz, which literally means beating, which we'll get to, or tvia or spinning. So if I actually went to the animal and started directly spinning the wool off of it while it's alive, that you're actually, again, you're not over the issur deraisa of gozes. So gozes also has a limitation. There is a, so to speak, normal way to do gziza. Okay, now this halacha is the important one. I mean, they're all important, but this is the one that's very relevant. Hanotel tzipornov and halacha ches o se'aro o shvama o zakana hareze told us gozes v'chayev. So you cannot cut your nails, okay? Nor can you, what do you call it, cut your hair or your mustache or your beard. All of these are considered a tolda of gozes in your chayev. That's why cutting your nails is a very important one, and we're going to get to some specific halachas by that. V'hu shiyitol b'kli. But this is all where a person's using a kli. So, for example, if I have a scissors, or let's say for my fingernails, if I have like a nail clipper, that's where the isser would apply. Avaim nutlan biyado, right? Bein lo, bein la'acher pater. But if I use my hand, okay, and I'm not using a kli, then it's pater aval aser. So it's only if I use a kli so far that I'm chayiv in, let's say, cutting my nails. And that's why, again, the question is going to become, as we'll get to, is biting nails versus cutting nails. If you're biting your nails, you're not using a kli. Is that considered biyad? If I use, obviously a nail clipper, that would be considered a problem. So too, v'chein achosech yubolas migufo bein biyad bein b'kli pater bein lo bein la'acher. Now that's like a wart. Let's say you want to, remove a wart from your body. So you're allowed to, right, whether you use a kli or you use it by hand. Okay, so that you'd be allowed to do. Muta lachtok yubolas mikdash biyad. In the base of Mikdash, you're allowed to go ahead and it's perfectly mutter to remove a wart using your hand. Avalobikli. You shouldn't use kli. Vim haisa yuvesha choscha afikli v'ovid. But if it's dry, then you're allowed to use the kli because we can't prevent the coin from doing work. So a situation of a wart could be considered like a chatzitza, and that may be a problem insofar as being able to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where a certain leniency exists when it comes to using a kli and taking off a wart. Okay, so let's do one more in Gozei's halacha test. Hanotel sa'aro b'kli, right? Kama yitzol v'yachayev shtei sa'aros. That's very important. So you only need to remove two hairs of the kli. So if I take a pair of scissors and I cut off just two hairs from my head, I'm chayev. Not only that, v'mlikeit levanos mitok shchoros, which I have a lot of those, if I'm coming to remove white hairs from black hairs, afilo achas chayev. So if a person comes along and uses a scissors to cut off one white hair for a mix of black hair, you're chayev. Tziporin shapir sharuba. Now this is also important. Let's say I have a hangnail, okay? A fingernail where the majority of it is hanging off, okay? We've all had those before. It's like right on the edge, okay? V'tzitin shalor shapir shu ruvan. Or another example is I have skin peeling off my arm, right? Or like a scab, and it's right at the end, right? Meaning most of it is off already. Impirshu kalpe mala umitsaros oso mutalitol sambiado of alobikli. So if it's now, it's a good question why, but if this split is going up, okay, in the up direction, and it's bothering the person, okay, then it's mutta for him to to remove it with his hand, but he can't use a kli. Vim natvav mekli pater. And if he used a kli, he'd be pater. But again, it's pater aval aser. Vim ena mitzaros also afilu biyad aser. An interesting idea. So if a person has a hangnail, okay, and it doesn't bother him, even if the majority of it's hanging off, it's irrelevant. He's not allowed to go ahead and remove it. It's only if it's mitzar to him that he'd be allowed to remove the hangnail. Vim lo pirshu ruvan, and if the majority of it is not split off from the nail, afilu mitzaros also, even if it's annoying him. So let's say I have a fingernail that's peeling, but only a small port, let's say a small part of it, let's say right from the beginning, asul natlam biyado vim natlam kli chayav. I cannot go ahead and use my hand to remove it, okay? And if I use the kli, I'm chayav in gozes. So that's actually important. That's very relevant when it comes to hair and nails in the body. To be very careful on Shabbos that it's not so simple to be able to remove these things.